Well, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you and adore you for your mercy, because your mercy endures forever. It is everlasting. And we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to consider, to ponder, meditate upon the mystery and the greatness of your mercy that seeks us in the deepest places of our hearts. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we are nearing the end of our year in the Gospel of Luke. For three more Sundays, we will read Luke's Gospel, and then the proverbial credits will roll, and then we'll begin Matthew at the beginning of Advent. Now, whether it's at the beginning or the end of a story, I'm always fascinated by the cast of characters. So you may have read some novels that give a list of characters in before the story begins, known as the dramatis personae. Of course, in films, we have the full cast of characters listed when the credits roll. Among the four Gospels, I would argue that Luke's Gospel provides us the most interesting cast of characters. I've never seen a full dramatis personae for Luke's Gospel, but that list would certainly have Zacchaeus included, but near the end. He's no major character in Luke's story. A minor character, to be sure. His name would appear just before you see names for the production crew in Luke's credits. But at least Zacchaeus is in Luke's story. Because see, without Luke, we would never know about Zacchaeus. The other three Gospels do not mention him. And yet Luke's Gospel would be incomplete without Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus. Luke features a cast of characters. We've seen these stories through this year. These are characters that were not celebrated in the ancient world of the Gospels. Characters such as Gentiles and Samaritans, lepers and the poor, and then tax collectors. Remember last week's gospel reading. The tax collector, the one who's beating his chest and humbly prays, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." He is the example that our Lord selects to teach us humility and what authentic prayer looks like. Today we have another encounter between Jesus and a tax collector, but Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. He's got more responsibility. And with more responsibility coming across Zacchaeus' desk comes more opportunity to pocket some of that revenue that's coming in for himself. More on that in a moment. So Zacchaeus, he lives in Jericho. And Jesus is passing through that ancient city at a significant time in his life. Luke has told us midway through his gospel that Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem, which means the cross. And now he's really close. When he's in Jericho, he's 15 miles away. Zacchaeus is the last person to meet personally with Jesus before the Lord enters Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday. Know the time of the story. Know also that Zacchaeus is not only powerful, he is rich, which is likely code in Luke's gospel that Zacchaeus was behaving badly with tax payments and revenue coming in. He's taken quite a lot off the top for himself. This was a common practice among chief tax collectors, and the Romans would just look the other way. Zacchaeus may be small in stature, but it's also convenient that he is hidden from a crowd that has no love lost toward Zacchaeus. They know what he's doing. And so when he climbs up and he's in the sycamore tree, Zacchaeus, he is concealed. And there, he is safe. He has a curiosity and he can satisfy his curiosity there. He can see for himself this prophet, this wonder worker, the stories that have come from the north down to Jericho. He can see this rabbi come from Galilee. Jesus can pass by and Zacchaeus can remain unnoticed. Small man covered up by the leaves of a sycamore tree. And that image prompts a memory, actually. An image from Scripture. When have I witnessed a man hiding himself in leaves while God was passing by? And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" As much wiser theologians than myself have said, the entire story of Scripture from Genesis through Revelation can be summarized in that single searching question from the Lord, "Where are you?" God is searching for us more than we are searching for Him. Our Lord searches for lost men and women, not to condemn them, but to save them, to bring them to Himself, and to commune with them. He is, as Francis Thompson penned, He is the hound of heaven. He's the one who is chasing after all sons and daughters, chasing them with His grace, His mercy, and His truth. So let us see in the Zacchaeus story, the grand story of God. Story of God who has been searching for us ever since our exile from Eden. And that grand story of God, it becomes Zacchaeus' personal story. You see, this is the marvel of our salvation. The story that we read, that we preach, that is written, that is handed down from generation to generation, it does not remain outside of us. Something to observe. We are brought inside this story by the God who pursued us when we were in exile. This is the God who comes to the place where you thought yourself safely hidden, where you thought you could just observe or just satisfy some curiosity about questions. God the Holy Spirit is the author of this great saga. And God the Holy Spirit, as we hear in Hebrews, is living and active. He is, as we confess in the Creed, He is the Lord and the life giver, which means that this ancient story is a living story. It is active. It becomes my story. This morning, in a few moments, William and Hannah Middleton bring their daughter Amelia to be baptized in Christ. Let us see today God seeking Amelia with abundant grace, mercy, and truth, that she would know the goodness of knowing Jesus Christ all the days of her life. And glory to God from generation to generation in the church, the God who calls each of us, not generally, but by name. Yesterday we celebrated All Saints Day, and today the church makes a new saint, Amelia Middleton. Our sainthood begins by God pursuing us and then clothing us with His beauty and His endless love. Back to Zacchaeus. Here's the most remarkable part of Zacchaeus' story for me. When Jesus sees our tax-collecting friend in the sycamore tree, He does not ask Zacchaeus' name. Jesus knows his name. There was no encounter between our Lord and Zacchaeus before this moment. It is their first encounter, and Jesus knows his name. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Now, not only must Zacchaeus collect himself, that Jesus knows his name, now he must prepare his house for a guest. And his guest, our Lord Jesus, has just invited himself over to dinner. Now, this does not follow cultural codes then or now. But with all that Zacchaeus bears in his soul, can he stand on custom and manners in that moment? Remember, Jerusalem's just miles away. Jesus is passing through. He's not coming back through Jericho again. Now, within this unconventional invite himself to dinner statement, Jesus says something else that stands out. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Now, we must hear the urgency of the Lord in those two words, hurry and must. He said, I must stay. Now, Zacchaeus could have refused. But the Lord says it in this way to express his sense of urgency, the intensity of his search for Zacchaeus. Now, Jesus in a hurry. Very rare in Luke's gospel. In fact, this is the only time we ever see Jesus in a hurry. And there's only one other occasion in his gospel where Luke describes anyone doing anything in a hurry. What's the other occasion? And the shepherds hurried and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Well, that seems pretty significant, because that's exactly what Luke says Zacchaeus does. So Zacchaeus hurried, like the shepherds did from Bethlehem. He from Jericho now. Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully. That's the pivotal moment, the coming down. And from this pivotal moment that Zacchaeus descends the sycamore tree, I want you to experience the story from another dimension now. Another aspect. Perhaps you've considered it, but maybe not. Now, we know the literal meaning of the story. Zacchaeus is going to welcome Jesus into his house. This is how we read Scripture. We always begin with the literal meaning. And yet our church fathers, they find deeper dimensions and meanings beneath the literal meaning. Here's another example. When Jesus teaches us to pray the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, he instructs us, go into your room and shut the door. Now, does Jesus mean the room in your home where you sleep? Yeah, but that's actually only one meaning. Numerous saints have understood your room to also mean your heart. I mean, does one pray the Lord's Prayer only when you're at home and in your room? Of course not. Our Lord's teaching takes another deeper meaning. Descend into the secret place within your soul. Shut the door takes on the meaning. Close your attention to other distractions. Focus on Him. Pray to the Lord in your heart. So in a similar way, I want you to see that when Zacchaeus welcomes Jesus into his house, the house is a figure of Zacchaeus's heart. And here we have quite the reversal of what was happening. From the place where we feel safely disguised or concealed, and maybe even in control, Jesus tells us, come down. Not only to leave the concealment of that safe sycamore tree. A brief conversation while he's got to be on his way. A brief conversation in the street. That won't do. No, Zacchaeus, hurry. I must stay at your house today. And in that hurried state, there is no time to tidy things that are unkempt. There is no time to put away perhaps the money boxes that would have been overflowing with Roman coinage. Jesus is coming into the house as is. The man who has set his face steadfast on Jerusalem, he has chosen a detour en route to the cross. He desires to come into the house of a white-collar criminal, a despised sinner in Jericho. Now, Zacchaeus could have protested, he could have delayed, he could have refused altogether. This he had done all along. Hear it again in the voice of Thompson's poem, The Hound of Heaven. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. But now, Zacchaeus, the beginning of his repentance, it begins by opening the door. And by opening the door of his home, Zacchaeus has opened the door of his messed up heart as it is. And guess what? This is precisely where Jesus wants to be. It's where he wants to come. I must come to this. To be with you in all this mess. You see, Jesus enters into that hidden place where you are embarrassed with yourself. Jesus comes to the place where it's useless to pretend anymore. He comes to the place where we've isolated ourselves or where we have perhaps condemned ourselves. I think of what John Donne wrote. Temptations martyr us alive. A man is to himself a Diocletian. Who was Diocletian? He was that horrible persecutor of the saints. This we do to ourselves with a spirit of condemnation. In the place where we have believed ourselves to be beyond love and grace and salvation or healing, Jesus comes and asks, could I be the guest? And there's another reversal. Zacchaeus' salvation begins when he serves Jesus from the heart. How do you heal the heart of a thief? To make it into the heart of a saint, you make him a servant. That's how. That's how you begin. And that's what is happening inside Zacchaeus' heart. Now let's pause there and notice what's happening outside the house. Because outside Zacchaeus' house, we hear the logic of human justice that wants to settle the score as is. And so we hear grumbling, we hear complaining, we hear he has gone in, Jesus of Nazareth has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. That's the sound of human justice outside. But inside Zacchaeus' home, divine justice, glory to God, has overruled human justice. Because just welcoming Jesus into his home, it changed Zacchaeus' heart. The reign of divine justice said, I bring mercy to the one who is broken in heart. The contrite of heart. When we hear the words of Zacchaeus' heart, that change that happens after Jesus comes into home, the only words we hear him say, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And we hear in Zacchaeus what the Lord has taught us, that one who receives great mercy ought to become abundant in giving mercy himself. So this stirs our Lord to say of Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, read heart too. Also, he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Such a familiar phrase. Many of us know it, but oh Lord, help us to hear it anew. The Son of Man comes seeking first. Always he is seeking. Always searching. Not just in conversion, always seeking. Always coming first to us. More than our search for him. And so if we will come out of hiding, if we leave the place where we feel safely concealed, what's the offer? Joy. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. Christ comes to our home as we are, not to condemn us and neither to leave us as we are, but to bring us into joy and to bring us into righteousness and goodness and to bring peace to the deepest, most troubled, hidden places of our hearts. Hurry and come down, Zacchaeus, for I must not eat, not dine. I must stay at your house today. Indeed. Come quickly, Lord. Come to the hidden heart. Put things in order. Order all things well. Come and dwell here forever. And all for the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.